from Colossians 1, 1 to 14. So yes, starts off with Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Thanks a lot, Reese. We'll keep open Colossians chapter 1. But before we get into that passage, how are you feeling? There seems to be, even just on stage today, a great variety of emotions. And perhaps you're here for the first time and you're thinking, what is going on at this church? Well, this isn't a normal Sunday. And some of us will feel excited. Some of us will feel nostalgic. Some of us will just be hungry and wondering when the service ends. All of the above, right? And part of that is goodbyes are always hard. I always find them a bit awkward and mushy, and I'm not very good at kind of feeling those emotions. And so when there are emotions that I don't want to feel there, I'm not quite sure what to do with those emotions. And I find those emotions particularly hard to see in my kids. So maybe you're going to see some of those emotions in your kids today as they part ways with some friends. But the reality is this is not goodbye. It's just that things are going to change around around here. Sorry about that. Things are going to be a little bit different. So we're not going to see some people here each week on Sunday. We'll have new congregations. There will be people in those new congregations that you've never known before. Our kids will be doing church with different kids and different leaders. Our growth groups will be completely different. They'll be all mixed up. You might be actually joining a growth group in 2024 this year, and you don't even know who your growth group leaders are. They're just kind of a name on a WhatsApp chat group or something like that. And you've never laid eyes on these people before. And that's kind of hard. Some of us will find it harder than others. Some will find this really hard. Others will just see opportunities and excitement. And for others, the reality may only kick in a month, 2 months, 3 months down the track. And we're all going to go through an experience of feeling like we're at a new congregation. Same preaching, same leadership, but this real sense of things are going to be different. So what I want to do today is I want to celebrate the work that God has done among us, because this is what Paul does in the book of Colossians here in Colossians chapter 1, and look forward with anticipation to what we're praying that God will continue to do among us. So personally, I arrived in Newcastle in 2005. I was single, I had hair, and I was appointed to be the pastor of our, what was then the 5 p.m. congregation. 19 years later, I am still here. I met my wife Prue here in the January of 2005. In fact, my first Sunday here was the Sunday of the Australian Open tennis final, men's tennis final. And so back then, New EPM and Uni Church, because they were quite small congregations, they used to combine over summer and meet at 6 p.m. And the welcomers on the door, standing out there, out the front, dressed in their full tennis whites with tennis rackets in their hand, was my wife, Fru Hilton, and Alice Palmer. And that is my first memory of Prue. I married her in the April of 2006, and there were stern warnings along the way. Jenny Jeffries made a beeline for me and made it very clear that if I muck it up, that there would be reason to fear for my life. I've been here to see our staff team grow from five of us that met together in Greg's room, Greg's lounge room, and sat on the famous blue couch. Who remembers that couch? Only a few. There we go. Tom remembers the famous blue couch. To the team that it is today. And when I arrived in 2005, New EAM, my memory is that there was around about 80 people here on a Sunday. And in the last 19 years, as we look back, we've seen God at work, yeah? And this is what Paul does when he looks at the church in Colossae. Have a look what he prays here. He says, "We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you." In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. All right, that's what we've been able to witness here at Hunter Bible Church, yeah? We've seen the gospel bearing fruit. Now, the interesting thing in verse 6 there is the language of bearing fruit and growing. They're lifted straight out of Genesis chapter 1. Right? And we're actually part of God's original blessing and commission to in his creation to be fruitful and to multiply through the bearing of kids and families. In 2005, there was only one congregation that had a kids program, New EAM, and a very small number of youth. Across church now, there are 298 kids and 111 youth. Now, obviously, not all 409 of those youth and kids were born here from you guys, but there have been a lot of kids born across the 30 years of Hunter Bible Church. Now, the wonderful thing is we've seen so many of those kids born to families of people at Hunter Bible Church, and we've seen them continue in their faith and trusting Jesus as their King and their Saviour. I remember walking in just to kids' church one Sunday, and I think it was the very first time that it occurred to me that the kids who were teaching my kids the gospel were the same kids who not long ago were being taught the gospel in those same classrooms. That is the evidence of God's faithful work among us, isn't it? Which is not what Paul kind of primarily has on view here. He's not really making a point about kids being born, but he is making a point about the gospel bearing fruit. Now, what does it mean for the gospel to bear fruit? Well, all of us, although we've been created by God, we have sinned and we've rebelled against God. We've rebelled against his right rule over our lives. And because of that, every single one of us has become alienated from God, enemies with the God of the Bible. But the gospel is that God has rescued us. He's made it possible for us as his enemies to be part of his people, part of his tribe. He's offered us forgiveness through the death of his son. This is wonderful news, friends. Have a look in Colossians 1:21. He goes on to say, "For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." See, when Jesus' blood is shed on the cross, he pays the penalty for our sins. He saves us from God's righteous wrath, his anger, and grants us forgiveness and eternal life. But it's more than getting to wear a badge that says forgiven, right? He actually gives us a new jersey, right? We get to take off the jersey that declares us to be in the kingdom of darkness, and we get a new jersey that tells us that we belong to the kingdom of Jesus, where we have this wonderful freedom of worshiping God and living for Him as we were originally created to do. And Paul looks back at the way that the Colossians received this momentous news, and he says, the gospel is bearing fruit among you, just as it is all over the world. So in verse 5, it says, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel, that has come to you. In the same way, that gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. And so this is what it means for the gospel to bear fruit. This good news is the power of salvation, transferring people from darkness into the kingdom of Jesus. And what a blessing it is we can look back and see God's work in us and through us. And there are so many stories, right? Stories from before I turned up. Ellie Jeffress, as she alluded to before, she turned up at Uni Church just having begun university. Week one, they open up Romans chapter 1. Greg says, I'm sorry if you're here for the first time. This is going to be a hard one. And then by the end of Romans 3, a few weeks later, she's converted. Michael and Nicole Alley came along to the Life series when they were dating. And over time, both of them placed their trust in Jesus. Some of you will remember Kent and Julie Fallon. I ran into them at a wedding last year. They became Christians here with us at Hunter Bible Church. And then they got shipped off to Catherine with the RAF. They're now back in Brisbane and they're part of a core team of a church plant. And that's not to mention the hordes of kids who have placed their trust in Jesus through our kids and youth programs. But salvation growth is, well, it's not the only way in which the gospel bears fruit. Have a look at the things that Paul is giving thanks for in the lives of the Colossians. He says, we thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. All right? He gives thanks for their faith, their love, their hope. In other words, the gospel does not just gather people to Christ and His kingdom. The gospel also grows us upwards into maturity in Christ. He makes us more like, it makes us more like Christ. And so He gives thanks for their faith. Now, faith is simply trusting and depending on Jesus, not ourselves. It's trusting that there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves, but by His work we have been saved. And I think that's primarily what Paul is talking about here, but faith is also dependence on Jesus in every aspect of our lives. It's faith that causes us to pray. It's trust in the sovereign rule of God that means we give over every aspect of our lives to Him. The next thing He gives thanks for is their love. And here the love that He's giving thanks for is love towards one another. That's already been spoken about today. Especially love for other believers. Now again, it's not by sheer will and force that we were able to love one another, but that's actually a response to God's love for us. Christian love is the overflow of the love of God that has been poured out into our hearts. We love because Christ first loved us through the gospel. And this faith and love, well, it springs up out of hope. The hope that we have of a certain future in heaven, where one day we will get to enjoy God forever. And again, haven't we seen this? Haven't we seen the gospel bear fruit? Haven't we witnessed wonderful miracles of faith, love, and hope? Now, that doesn't mean that it's always been easy and smooth and free from suffering or anything like that. It doesn't mean that we haven't stuffed up and had to ask people for forgiveness. Sadly, it doesn't even mean that people have not left us unhappy. But there are remarkable stories of faith, love and hope. The thing about New EAM is we're all a little older than we used to be. New EAM, when I first arrived, was mostly made up of people in their late 20s and early 30s, and their kids. And so over time, we've seen suffering. We ourselves have been through times of hardship. We've wept alongside others who have gone through hardship. But as the Bible reminds us, suffering is not only part of living in a broken world, but it's actually used by God to grow us and to change us. So Romans 5 tells us this. He says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And many of us have experienced that. I've witnessed God growing us through hardship. As we've seen people walk away from their faith, even seen our kids walk away from Jesus. Maybe the loss of loved ones, marriage breakdowns, serious illness. I remember visiting Reese Thomas in hospital as he fought with cancer. But the thing I witnessed about him that he didn't talk about was the way that his love for Jesus grew during that time. And the way that his gospel urgency just kind of went through the roof as he spoke to anybody and anyone who would listen to him about Jesus. And praise God, he's here with us today still. In all these moments, we've had to learn to trust in the Lord Jesus in new and different ways that are not necessarily easy. We've seen one another grow during these times of hardship. We've seen people love one another during these times. We've seen other people persevere and cling tightly to the hope that we have in Jesus. Can I encourage you, if you get the opportunity one Wednesday, head along to our ministry for our retirees. I'm sure that they would love to see you there. They love to have visitors. You'll receive a warm welcome and a great morning tea, I guarantee it. But here is a group of men and women who are in a stage of life where there are considerable more challenges than there used to be for them. Some of them, they have a clean bill of health, right? Others are wrestling now with decreased mobility and other health concerns that have meant that they've become more and more reliant on others, which is not an easy thing to come to terms with. But amongst themselves, they love and support one another, both practically and spiritually. And they are clinging to Jesus. At the other end of life, there are equally encouraging stories of faith and love. I've seen teenagers own their faith for the very first time and then proceed to drag a friend to youth to make sure that they get connected and help them to find their hope in the Lord Jesus. Meal rosters for new parents. Food made in love. Now look, I get that meal rosters are made in love, but there was a time around about 2010 and it kind of carried on into 2012 where meal roster meant load people's fridge with lasagna. And there was a bloke at New EPM, some of you will remember him, his name was Wags. He had an amazing lasagna recipe and he would just turn up with piles of lasagna. We had lasagna coming out of our ears for weeks. Every shelf in the fridge, every gap in the freezer loaded up with lasagna. And so we invited people over for lasagna. And they said, what shall we bring? And we said, don't worry, we'll make lasagna. We actually ended up giving away lasagna to another couple who we knew outside of church who had recently had the baby at the same time. And they were amazed. There were two kids in the house. We were able to put together this wonderful lasagna. But all of this was the gospel bearing fruit, right? This was love from the people of God for the people of God. But we've also sent people with the gospel all over the world. Dave and Sansan, Stu and Iz to South Asia, Dean and Rachel to Japan, Kelly to France, Chris and Karen to Broome, Rob and Jen Alley, Phil and Lauren to Africa, Matt and Ellen Tyler to Vanuatu, not to mention the 94 MTS graduates that we've raised up here at Hunter Bible Church and sent to various churches around Australia both as lay members and into various staff positions in churches all across Australia. And the gospel is now bearing fruit across the globe through men and women like that, just as it has been bearing fruit among us. And so there is so much to give thanks for, which is exactly how Paul starts this letter to the Colossians. He says, "We always thank God," verse 3, "for the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you." And notice the object of his thanks here. He's not congratulating himself because he did a wonderful job of pastoring them. He's not congratulating the Colossian church, but he is actually giving thanks to God because God is the one who is at work there. God is the one who is at work here. And so before we look forward, let's just take a moment to give thanks now. Will you join me? We thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we look back, we can see the gospel has been bearing fruit among us. Not because we're an impressive bunch, but by your power and your grace. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives through the message of truth proclaimed by your people to us. Thank you that you've brought people into the kingdom of Jesus and grown people in faith, love, and hope. We're only halfway, brother. Oh, cool. Having looked back, Paul now looks forward in his prayer for the Colossians. And then he looks ahead. And so what do you pray for a church where the gospel has been bearing fruit? We pray that it would keep bearing fruit, right? So have a look in verse 9. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work." And so Paul looks ahead and he prays for the church of the Colossae to be a church where the gospel has been bearing fruit, and he prays that they would keep bearing fruit. Right? This is not rocket science. We're not going to be reinventing the wheel going forward. We're not praying a new prayer for a new church. We're looking to be the same kind of people that God has always wanted us to be. The same old, just in different locations. But whilst in one sense it's business as usual, as we dig into this prayer, I want us to dwell on this prayer and commit to the prayer. I want us to commit to actually praying these things for the people of God at Hunter Bible Church. Pray this for your new congregations. Pray this for other congregations. Let's not make this just a head thing, but let this be a heart thing as we look forward. See, Paul prays that we would grow in our knowledge of God. Have a look there in verse 9. "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." See, if we're to be a church that continues to bear fruit, if we want to be a people who live lives worthy of the Lord, then it all begins with our knowledge of God. Knowing God, friends, is the main game. Everything else flows from that. And at the same time, we need to make sure that we don't end up thinking that knowing God is just a strategy for bearing fruit. Knowledge of God is the beginning, but it's also an end in itself, right? And so Paul prays that we would simply know God better. J.I. Packer, in his great book, Knowing God, says this. He says, "One can know a great deal about God without much knowledge of God. A little knowledge of God is worth more than a great deal of knowledge about him." Paul is praying that we would know his will, know his character, know his faithfulness, know his love, his gentleness, his patience. And that is why every week here we unpack the Word of God. Every growth group you're part of, the Bible will be the main game. Every kids program, the Bible is at the very center, because if it's not for knowledge of God, there is no fruit. And so looking forward, one of the things we're going to continue to value is prayerful dependence on God's word by his Spirit to save and grow people. This won't change. Paul prays also for strength, if you look there in verse 11. It says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. That is, Paul prays that their knowledge of God would not just be a flash in the pan, right? But that it would be a lifelong commitment to Jesus, a commitment to Jesus that endures through hardship, that is patient in the face of adversity. And as we talked about before, we've seen this among us. We've seen gospel endurance, and we want to be praying that each one of us would endure to the very end. You know, I love our youth and kids' goal. It is to produce 20-year-olds who are living their lives for Jesus. Right? It's a prayer that their young faith would mature and grow. And if you think about it, this prayer that Paul prays is a prayer that we would be a people who die well. That we would die clinging to Jesus. That we would hold fast to the very end. Now, thankfully, here we haven't had to say goodbye to many brothers and sisters in Christ. But when we do, we want funerals to not only be filled with grief, but real hope in the resurrection. Because our brothers and sisters died knowing the Lord Jesus, assured of their salvation. Right? Finally, Paul prays that the Christian life will be filled with joyful thanks. So in verse 12, it says there, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in his inheritance of his holy people and the kingdom of light. Now, isn't that a beautiful vision? Is that what we want to see? Isn't that what we want to see in ourselves, in our church, in each new congregation? Joyful thankfulness. And again, notice where our thankfulness is directed. It is directed to the Father. Okay, in today's world, people like to do this thing where they journal. I'm not quite sure what that's all about, but I know that one thing that they like to journal about is they like to write down things that they are thankful for each morning. So they might say something like, I am thankful for the morning sunrise I got to witness this morning. Or, I am thankful for the fulfilling relationship I'm in at the moment. But what this misses for people who don't know Jesus is that their thankfulness, who's the audience? We need somebody to be thankful to. And here, our thanks is directed to the Father. God willing, as we look forward, there will be many, many things to thank him for. But the main thing Paul has on view here is that we will always be filled with joy because of our salvation, because God has qualified us, because God has brought us into the kingdom of light, because he has qualified us to be part of that kingdom. And then not only just be part of that kingdom, but then he shares his inheritance with us. He makes us co-heirs of the kingdom of God with Christ. And yeah, there will be times where we fall off the wall of the thankfulness wagon, so to speak. There'll be periods of life where it's flat out difficult to give thanks. But we can always give thanks to God for his salvation, right? Because it's a constant. He has forgiven us. So what are you expecting God to do in 2024? Well, everything will change and nothing will change. We're still praying that God will be growing his kingdom across the globe. We're praying that he will numerically add to his number right here in Newcastle. We're still praying that he will be growing his people in knowledge so that we might live lives that are worthy of God. We will be praying that he will strengthen us to endure and to persevere. And we're asking that he will be transforming us into a people who are marked by joyful thankfulness to the Father. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son, whom you love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.